Okay, well, we left off with Josiah in chapter 23. He talked about the Passover, and we looked at that. And we noted that nobody had done the Passover like Josiah. They had done the Passover, but he did it precisely and exactly according to the law, which was something. And then in verse 31 of chapter 23, it talks about one of his sons, Jehoahaz, who was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his fathers had done. And Pharaoh put him in bands at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem. And he put the land to a tribute of 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold. And the Pharaoh, Necho, made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah, his father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, and took away Jehoahaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there. Okay, now, there's two similar names of two kings. There's Jehoiakim, K-I-M, and then there's a Jehoiakin, C-H-I-N, I believe, which will come up later.
I'm so sorry, where are we?
Second Kings 23.
I don't know, Stella.
What verse?
35. So those are those two kings. So you got to just remember they're different guys. Jehoiakim, he doesn't last long in this thing. And then Jehoiakim later is a big part of what we're going to look at with Jeremiah. So Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give the money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and the gold of the people of the land and everyone according to his taxation to give it unto Pharaoh. Necho. And Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zebeda. All right, whatever. The daughter of Pedaiah and Rumah. And he did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his fathers had done. You know, it's kind of interesting because Josiah was a great king and he had these rotten sons. So, I think I want to go to 2 Chronicles 35. I'm not sure. Let's look at it. I've got to remember what's there. It's the last chapter of, or next to the last chapter. Well, that's about the Passover also. So we don't really need to go there. So we'll just go to chapter 24 of 2 Kings and we'll pick it up. Okay. So in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. That wasn't very, very wise, I don't think. Put this in context, we're going to look at it in a little while, maybe. But in the beginning of Jeremiah, Jeremiah was the prophet during the period of Josiah, Jehoiakim, Jehoiakin, and I forget the next, there's another guy, is that a Hilkiah, I think, or something. But anyway, he prophesied that the land would be destroyed and these people would come down from the north and God would unleash them on Israel and they would pay the price for their unbelief. So this is really the fulfilling of some of this prophecy. And the Lord sent against him bands of Chaldees and bands of Syrians and bands of Moabites and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant the prophets. prophets, plural, of which Jeremiah was one. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he did. And remember how horrible Manasseh was, right? He did turn back at the end of his life. But he did a lot of terrible things. And also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiakim, his son, reigned in his stead. So this is the other one, right? Not to be confused. Jehoiakim is the father. Jehoiakim is the son. And the king of Egypt came not again anymore out of his land, for the king of Babylon had taken the river of Egypt unto the river of Euphrates, all that pertained to the king of Egypt. And Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. And what happened? And his mother's name was Nehushta, and the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. Well, that wasn't very good, was it? He's not a good guy. So at this point, we have Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah. Again, we see a bad king following a good king. And then Jehoiakim, his son, takes over. And we see that God warned these guys. So let's go to Jeremiah. We're going to Jeremiah chapter 3. Because he's the man of God during this period. I think we mentioned a little bit about him. But we're going to mention more because he was quite a guy. Chapter 3 of Jeremiah, verse 6. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? Now he's speaking about the other kingdom, right? The kingdom of Israel. Josiah was the king of Judah. And God is talking to Jeremiah about Israel. And he says, you see the backsliding they hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. Meaning, they would sell themselves to any god, you know. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. So he's referring to Israel and Judah as sisters, two kingdoms. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. So what's he saying? He's saying, you know, he's telling Jeremiah, you know, Judah didn't learn anything by what happened to Israel. Israel sinned against me, and then they got taken away in captivity by the Assyrians, you know, the people from Nineveh. So they didn't learn anything, and they did the same thing. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery and stones with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, said the Lord. What does that mean? It means, you know, they looked religious. They were, you know, going through the motions, but they didn't really turn to God. They were still worshiping false gods and doing things that God told them not to do. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. So that's the situation here that's going on. Let's go to Jeremiah 25. And we're going to look at verse 1. It says, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. So now we're looking at the son of Josiah, right? Jehoiakim. That was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me. And I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. So what's he saying here? He says, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been getting up every morning and telling you about God, and you're just not listening. And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets. So Jeremiah wasn't alone, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again now, every one from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. So he's reminding them what God did for them, right? He brought them into the promised land. He promised that they could have this land forever as long as they were obedient to his word, to the law of Moses. Verse 6, and go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and to provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. So God's pretty understanding here, I guess, he didn't want to bring about bad things to Judah. He didn't want to bring bad things back on Israel. And he kept telling them, you know, turn back, you know, straighten up. And they kept disappointing them, I guess. They kept doing what they wanted to do. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. So what's he saying? You're doing it to yourself, really, right? I'm not going to do it. You're doing it because I keep telling you not to. So you're doing it to your own damage. Verse 8, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them again against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and hissing and perpetual desolations. That's pretty bad. Utterly destroy, a desolation. You know, if you remember when Israel went into the promised land, what was the description? Description was it was a land of milk and honey with running rivers and trees and wells dug and rich farmland, and it produced fruit and things that, you know, were super abundant. And what's he saying here? It's going to be a desolation. It's going to get wiped out. Verse 10, moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon. How long?
70 years.
70 years. That's the prophecy. These are prophecies. This is Jeremiah's, by God's word, is telling them what's going to happen if they don't change, if they don't come back. Something. Verse 12. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it a perpetual desolations. And I will bring upon that land all my words, which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. Wow. Imagine being Jeremiah and getting this revelation, you know, and then having to go and tell the people that it didn't make them popular. It wasn't like people were inviting him over for dinner and saying, thanks, Jeremiah, for telling us how bad we are. Verse 14, for many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. So that's a pretty strong thing. So now we're going to go to chapter 36. And this one I know you're all familiar with, but it's just a great record. And there are several things in here. First of all, it shows us how, God gave his word to prophets and how it was written down. But we also see how God works with this man, Jeremiah, and how he protects him and how he brings his word to pass. So, chapter 36, verse 1. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah. Oh, that's 36. Sorry. Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm on. Okay. Jehoiakim. The son of Josiah, king of Judah, that his word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying. So this is explaining to us what's happening. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, take thee a roll of a book, which means a scroll, right? Mm-hmm. They had, two pieces of wood with, they were fancy, and they had the parchment, and they rolled it up from both sides. And so he said, take a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all nations from the day that I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. So from the days of Josiah, Jeremiah comes on the scene the 13th year in the reign of Josiah. So it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. So this is the purpose. This is the purpose of the writing of this scroll. It says, you're going to tell Judah all the bad stuff I'm going to do to you so that you might return, so that you might have a change of heart, so that these things won't come to pass. That was the purpose of it, so that God could forgive them. So that's pretty loving. Verse 4. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. So now we have Baruch, and remember we looked at scribes and where they came from, kind of, and we looked at that a little bit. And Baruch was one of those guys. He was a scribe. He must have been, number one, very trustworthy for Jeremiah to have called him, right? Mm-hmm. He must have trusted him. And it must have been that God told him he could trust him. So Baruch comes and he wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord. He didn't let anything be missed. He wrote them all, which he had spoken unto him upon the roll of the book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. To be shut up means, in hiding, It would appear from the context that Jeremiah was not in good standing. You could understand why. And if we go back to the beginning of Jeremiah, which we're going to do, you'll see that God told him that he was going to have to go out and speak against the kings, the princes, the priests, and all the people. So he wasn't popular with the priests either. And he was of a priestly line. He was of the line of Aaron. The ESV reads, I am banned from going into the house of the Lord. Now, it doesn't tell us who banned him. You know, did God tell him not to go or the priests banned him? We don't know. It just, but he says, I am shut up. I can't go into the house of the Lord. So that's the situation. Verse 6, therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return everyone from his evil way. For great is the anger and fury that the Lord hath pronounced against his people. And Baruch, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book of the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Now, this probably didn't make Baruch very popular either, you know, and but he did what he was told to do. He was obedient to that man of God. And it says, and it came to pass, verse 9, in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed the fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Now, it doesn't say who proclaimed the fast. And the fast is a very interesting thing. So it says here, 9, it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim. Well, in verse 1, it said the fourth year of Jehoiakim. So a year has passed, you know, since we started this chapter, right? We went from the fourth year to the fifth year. I want you to hold your place here. We can go to 2 Chronicles 20. And verse 3. And this is at the time of King Jehoshaphat. And we'll start in verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them other beside the Ammonites, against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from the sea, from beyond the sea, on this side Syria, and behold, they be the Hazazon Tamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So here, in this case, it was Jehoshaphat that proclaimed the fast. And then if we go to Ezra chapter 8, Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21. Now, Ezra's when? That's at the time when they came back, or they were coming back from the Babylonian captivity, and they were back in Jerusalem. And it says, they were on their way back. They're in the middle of their trip. It says, then I, you know, meaning Ezra, I proclaimed a fast there, at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones, and for all our substance. Okay? So, remember, Ezra was a priest and a scribe, right? And he was kind of the spiritual leader that led the people back from the captivity. Then we're going to go to Esther. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Getting a little tour here. Chapter 4. And verse 16. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So, you know, Esther was going to go before the king and make, you know, a request of him. And she asked, you know, her people to fast, to not eat, not, you know, not do anything, not eat or drink for 3 days, which is quite a task. So now, the word fast does not appear in the law in Leviticus or Deuteronomy. There is no commandment anywhere to fast, okay? There are several passages in Leviticus that are pointed to. So we're going to go to Leviticus 16. We will get back to Jeremiah, I promise. But I thought this is really important to know and understand. Leviticus 16, verse 29. It says, and this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. And then verse 31, it shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. And then it says basically the same thing in chapter 23. But they point to this phrase, and it said it in another place we just read with Ezra, I believe, where it says afflict your souls or afflict yourselves. And they thought, or they said, that meant not to eat. Now in Esther, she told those people not to eat, right? But in the other places, it doesn't say that. It says afflict your souls. The word afflict is an interesting word, and it doesn't mean to fast. What it does mean is to lower yourself or to humble yourself. That's what it means. So we go to Isaiah 58, and this is what God says about the fast. Verse 6. Because apparently it became a thing in the East to do, and not just among Israelites, but in all these pagan religions as well, where people would fast. They would starve themselves. And we know that in the gospel times, these guys would do stuff to make themselves look good, right? So they were doing this in the Old Testament. So God says in verse 6 of chapter 58 of Isaiah, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke and the putting forth of the finger and the speaking vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shalt thy light rise in obscurity and the darkness be as the noonday. So it doesn't say anything about not eating. So when we see the term fasting, yes, they did fast. They did not at times eat, or they gave up food. We know that Jesus Christ went into the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights and didn't eat. But it wasn't part of the law. And it doesn't say anywhere that they were to proclaim fast, but it seems like at certain times, like with Jehoshaphat and with Esther, they proclaimed the fast to go to God and humble themselves before him to, you know, ask for help, ask for his mercy. So back to Jeremiah. So again, in verse 9, it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed the fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. So I don't know who proclaimed the fast, but all these people were there. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house in the ears of all the people. So Baruch does what he's told, and he reads this scroll, and he lets him have it. And when Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama, the scribe, and Deliah, the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. So a bunch of these guys were scribes and other, you know, dignitaries and highfalutin guys in the king's court, and they're all there, and this guy tells them about this reading. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, Take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, Sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, that they were afraid both one and another, and said unto Baruch, We will surely tell the king of all these words. So it shook them up, right? God tells Jeremiah to write this. He calls Baruch. Baruch writes it down word for word perfectly. And then he reads it to the people. And then he reads it to the princes. And then these guys get shook up. Say, we need to do something here. Verse 17. And they asked Baruch, saying, Tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, He pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Pretty simple, huh? That's how we got the word of God, really. Or one of the ways. Of course, you know, God originally wrote the Ten Commandments with the finger, right? God's finger inscribed it. And then later on, he had Moses redo it. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. So these guys are afraid, and they know the king's not going to be happy about this. So they say to Baruch, you go get Jeremiah, and you guys hide. And they went into the king, into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama's, the scribe's, chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, which approximately is around December. And there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. You can't really get rid of the word of God by throwing it in the fire, can you? Well, that's what he tried to do. Yet they were not afraid nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Remember Josiah, his father? You know, Josiah, when he heard the word read, not this kind of word, but, you know, just like Deuteronomy. When he heard the word, he was, you know, flabbergasted. And he just cleaned up all of Israel, all of Judah and Jerusalem. He rent his clothes. He was so upset. These guys, big deal. We don't care. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Delaiah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. So those guys had a little bit of sense. But the king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Hamelech, and Seraiah, the son of Azrael, and Shemaiah, the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch, the scribe, and Jeremiah, the prophet, but the Lord hid them. You know, and if God hides somebody, you're not going to find them. Remember Elijah? He was by the brook, and God fed him, and the ravens brought him food, and when the brook dried up, he sent him to the widow woman, right? And you know, right in the midst of the enemy, and they never found him. When God hides somebody, they're hid. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. After that, the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall surely come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. So, just because he burned the scroll doesn't mean the prophecy wouldn't come true, right? It's going to happen, because God said it would happen. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. So what's he saying? This guy, his line, his bloodline, personally, is going to be cut off out of the line of David. And, you know, he's not going to have a son to sit on the throne. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I'll bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearken not. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch, and Baruch the scribe, and there we learn that Baruch is a scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and there were added besides unto them many like words. meaning he didn't just put that together, but he gave him a postscript. In addition, this is also what's going to happen. Pretty amazing. And then it says in chapter 37, verse 1, and King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. So then Zedekiah comes in. So it's really a wild chain of events. You know, we go from Josiah, this great and wonderful man that did his very best for God, and then he has these rotten sons, and they just screw up everything. So the book and the prophecies of Jeremiah are not in chronological order. As we saw, Jeremiah first appears during the reign of Josiah in the 13th year of his reign, unto the 11th year of Zedekiah, which is about 40 years. We also noted that he was contemporary with Zephaniah and Habakkuk in his early years, and with Daniel in his later years. After the invasion of the Chaldees and the Babylonian captivity, Jeremiah remains in Judah and ministers to the impoverished remnant, which means, you know, they took most of the people away, and they certainly took the cream of the crop. Right. You know, they took the young people and the healthy people and the smart people, because they were going to take them into their empire and use them and take advantage of their abilities. Jeremiah remained behind, and the people that were left behind were impoverished. They were poor because they destroyed everything. Like God said, it would be devastated. So he stayed behind and ministered to those people. Jeremiah's prophecy includes the Babylonian captivity, which we read about, the return after 70 years, which we read about, the worldwide dispersion of Israel, the kingdom age, and the day of judgment, as well as some other things. So I want you to go to Jeremiah chapter 1. He's also known as the crying prophet. So, chapter 1, verse 1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin. So, this tells us that Jeremiah was in the priestly line. He was in the line of Aaron. But, and there's several Hilkiahs. Remember back when we looked at Josiah, and when he found out, he called the high priest Hilkiah. It's not the same one that was Jeremiah's father. There were four sons of Aaron. Two died because they did strange fire, and there were two left. Eleazar, and basically most of the high priests came from the line of Eleazar, and then there was another one, Elathian or something. And that's where this Hilkiah came. He was from that line. Okay? So that tells us where he comes from. And he was from a village called Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Now, Jerusalem is in the northeast corner of Judah. And it's very close to the boundary line with the tribe of Benjamin. So this Anathoth is not very far from Jerusalem. Okay? And it was a village of Levites. And it says, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. So we already knew that. That's when his ministry began. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. So Zedekiah was apparently a brother of Jehoiakim, and because he was the son of Josiah also. And remember, Jehoiakim, you know, he bit the bullet, and God said that he would not have any of his line to sit on the throne. So, and it says, you know, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So that says a lot right there about Jeremiah. He was one that was called by God while he was still in the womb. And it says, you know, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And, you know, you see that written, you know, on billboards and bumper stickers. And what happened? His laptop died. My goodness. Anyway. Yeah. But this is written specifically to Jeremiah. It's not true of every person. Right? Because number one, not every person is sanctified before they're born or ordained a prophet. So, I mean, right off the bat, you got to realize. but anyway, Jeremiah, it was one that was raised up by Jehovah. Remember, we started this with 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly perfected unto all good works. And we see here throughout the book of Jeremiah how God equipped Jeremiah. He was fully perfected to carry out the work of the Lord, to carry out the work that God gave him. so remember, when it says he was sanctified, that really means he was anointed with, he was set apart. And we know that he had Holy Spirit because he received revelation from God. so God gave him everything he needed to know. Verse 6, then said I, ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of Moses in Exodus. When God said, you know, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And Moses said, you know, I don't really speak very well and I can't do these things. And God said, yes, you can. And you'll be like God unto your brother Aaron and he'll speak for you. So it's a little different with Jeremiah, but it was the same reaction. I can't do this. Who are you kidding? But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Well, that's his commissioning. You know, he's going to go everywhere that God tells him, and he's going to speak everything God tells him to speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. So here he has God's assurance. Right? He has God's assurance that he's going to take care of him. He's going to protect him. He's going to deliver him. Then God put forth his hand and touched my mouth. Now that is got to be a figurative speech, right? God doesn't have a hand. But what does it mean? It means that God gave him the words and what to speak and how to speak. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. Wow, what a thing, huh? What a job to set before somebody. You know, you're going to go out there and you're going to tell everybody exactly what I tell you to say. And it's not going to be just all fun and games. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the almond tree, from what I read, Dr. Well wrote on this, the almond tree is the first tree to flower in the spring. A rod of an almond tree meant vigilance. Jeremiah was to be the watchman. He was to be vigilant. He was to be the first one to carry these prophecies to Judah. And the word of the Lord came unto me a second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and a face thereof is toward the north. A seething pot is a boiling pot. And it says here, it's faced towards the north. A boiling pot would have to have fire, right? The ESV and the NIV both render this facing away from the north. I'm not sure what that's supposed to mean. What the face of a pot is that the bottom or the top? But what he's indicating here is there's going to be something coming that's very bad from the north. Okay? Because then he tells us, Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the earth. And the word evil in the NIV and ESV is disaster. Dr. Wuerl said it was a catastrophe or a destruction, which we read later on in the book of Jeremiah, where he said it would be a desolation and a destruction. So that's the warning that he's given Jeremiah to deliver to the people. For lo, I will call all the families of the kings of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one of his throne at the entering of the gates of the Jerusalem against all the walls there around about and against all the cities of Judah. And that just simply means, you know, the gate of the city was where the king sat in judgment, or the elders sat in judgment. And they said, you know, these guys are going to come from the north, and they're going to sit in the gate, and they're going to rule. And I will utter my judgment against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. Now, you know, to gird up their loins, I think we saw it in Elijah, where he runs before the horse of Ahab. Remember, he girded up his loins and ran before him. And it's, you know, they had a girdle, and they would pull up their robe and they would tie it up so they could run and stuff. But here it's used figuratively, and it means to prepare. Prepare yourself. So, the NIV says, Get yourself ready, stand up and say to them, Whatsoever I command you, do not be terrified at them, or I will terrify you before them. Gird up your loins, verse 17, Therefore gird up your loins and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. So the NIV said, Don't be terrified of them, or I will terrify you. Meaning, you know, Jeremiah, if you get afraid of them, just think you better be more afraid of me. Verse 18, For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, or a fortified city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. So that's what he was telling him. He says, You're going to have to go, and you're going to have to say the words that I give you, and tell them all this bad stuff is going to happen to them, And you have to go to the king and the princes and the priests, the political powers and the religious powers, and then the people. Well, that covers pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. So, you know, he said, you're here and you're by yourself, but that's okay, because I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to deliver you. Now, Jeremiah went through some pretty bad stuff along the way, but God did protect him and did deliver him. And he was just an incredible man of God. And he did everything that God asked him to do. He carried it out. He just obeyed. And it's just an amazing thing. So we're going to stop there tonight. We're going to hit a couple of more records in Jeremiah because they're fun and interesting. And he was a great man. So that's it for tonight. God bless you all.